Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If I'm the Giannis, that makes Myron Metcalf my Chris Middleton. And we can debate which one's Batman, which one's Robin. But that's what we're doing the rest of the day. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, ESPN+. Plus. Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz. Myron, you're my Chris Middleton, buddy.
Hey, I'll be Chris Middleton, but I don't know how Robin got into the conversation. If you call Robin and you're in trouble, you're going to have to fight too. I'm just letting people know. Batman's a different level, not Robin.
Is there like a dynamic duo that works where like maybe it's a 1 and 1A dynamic duo of the comic book specs? Like, I'll be honest. I've seen like part of one Marvel movie. Sorry, Disney, yeah. I love you. Thanks for paying my checks, but I don't know.
I think it's Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America. That's probably the trio that where everybody's kind of on the same level, I would say. So that's probably the group.
So Captain America is just a guy with a big shield, right? Thor's a guy with a big hammer.
Yeah, but he's a trained soldier. I mean, he's not just a dude with a shield. I mean, you know, he's specially trained soldier.
But he's got a fancy shield. Like, we got a fancy shield guy, a long-haired guy with a hammer, or we've got Iron Man. I'm taking Iron Man all day in this. Like, so I'm sorry. I've commandeered Iron Man. So does that make you Thor? Or
I'll take Thor. I mean, like, Thor isn't even fully human. I mean, Thor is, like, God level. So I'll take Thor. Yeah, for sure.
Look at this. I'm getting such an education. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And yes, by the way, we just had a break, which means for the first time in our time working together, you got to hear me say I need to go tinkle. I think Giannis is onto something here. And by the way, have you ever, Myron, this is going to be the weirdest question I've asked you.
Okay.
I know we have sports to get to, but have you ever read Slash's autobiography? You're a writer. So
I have not, but it sounds crazy. I bet a lot of crazy stories in there.
It is, and one of the really compelling stories for Slash in his autobiography is that when he first started playing the guitar, he was playing, like in bands, he would wear jeans, but then he realized that he was getting so messed up every night on stage that he was peeing his pants, and you could see that in jeans. So he switched to leather pants because you couldn't see that when it happened in leather pants. That was step one of the story. But then you flash forward, because I'm a very observant reader, like 3-4 chapters later, he was talking about the fact that they just, like, the guys were so party-oriented with Guns N' Roses that a lot of times they would just rip their clothes off after shows, and they would let it, like, they'd just throw them out on top of the bus and let everything air dry and then put it back on the next day. So he told us in one chapter he was peeing his pants, and he told us in another chapter that he didn't wash his pants the entire summer. I don't know how I feel about this, even for a rock star.
I guess I'm just surprised that Slash remembers any of those stories. I mean, that to me is the biggest thing, that he even recalls some of that chaos that they went through during those times.
That is 1,000% true. Okay, so obviously one of the big stories today is Damian Lillard. I've got no segue that's going to get me from Slash to Dame. So we're just going to go there. We've been waiting to see what the future holds. And obviously with rumors going out everywhere, we expected to hear from Dame. We did. He said at the press conference held after Team USA basketball practice that he, quote, has not made any firm decision on what his future will be. He said it's not true that he will ask for a trade from the Blazers. He said he hasn't requested a trade, but does say it's time for the Blazers to be more urgent if their goal is to be a championship organization. So we get reports today that he's requesting a trade. Now he says that's not true, but he does want more urgency. And I believe also noted there'll be a conversation, nothing big, but he's planning a conversation with the Blazers. So what do you make of all of that together, Myron?
I don't believe him. I don't think he's telling the truth. Because the blueprint is, the reports like this come out, the athlete denies them, the team denies it, and then slowly but surely, there's momentum toward the inevitable move. Anthony Davis, this happened to, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, the list goes on and on and on of athletes who said, you know what, those reports aren't true. And then by the end of that summer or the end of that month, they were traded. So to me, Dame is saying what he has to say publicly, but Dame Lillard is going to demand a trade. Even if it's not him directly, that is going to happen, and those moves are going to be made.
Words are never accidental at this situation in my mind. And, you know, even when you look at his response, he was just asked a few minutes ago if he, quote, expects to be with the Blazers in 2021-22. His response, yeah, I expect to be. I'm not sure what else you can say, but to me, anytime we start adding extra words into it other than yes or no, anytime you start adding something that feels like a qualifier, that's the moment that you realize that maybe it's not as up and look, if you want to source a rumor, and an agent told me this years ago, I think really intelligently, if a rumor comes out, figure out who it benefits and figure out who it doesn't, and you'll have a pretty good idea of where it was leaked from. Now, a rumor today about his future with the Blazers on a day he was scheduled to speak to the media is just, I mean, enough things coming together to keep this in the conversation, in the forefront. It's just hard for me to compartmentalize all of that, Myron, and then be like, oh, yeah, he's going to come back. It's all going to work out, because how are they suddenly going to become a championship team this year? They're not.
Yeah, he says, I expect to be playing for the Blazers. I expect to be in shape by Labor Day. So we all got expectations in this world. They may not all come true. And I think if you're Dame, you don't want to say anything publicly. I think he respects Portland as a city, as an organization. So you don't want to be the guy who makes this messy, right? But none of this stuff, as you just noted, Jason, none of this stuff comes out unless you want it to. Like, this report doesn't come out unless Dame has talked to people around him and said, hit the button. And that's how you know it's real. These things don't come from thin air. Dame is going to make a move. And here's the other thing. He should be able to do this. This is the best thing for his career. He can't win in Portland. He's achieved everything he's ever going to achieve in Portland. Why not explore other possibilities, because you want to compete for a championship? You're not going to do that in Portland. Move on in your career. He's earned that. So he's not going to be on this roster no matter what he says.
He also didn't exactly kill it. I know, exactly, like, we're parsing words, but like, there's a very simple response when somebody comes in and says, hey, rumor is you've demanded a trade. Have you demanded a trade? No. Are you happy with the Blazers? Yes. I mean, to the point that he said he was going to keep all of his business in-house behind closed doors, if that's what he's truly intending to do, his answers didn't do that today. And I know that that's splitting hairs in the way he answered the questions, but even going as far as to say, yeah, but the Blazers need to make their plan clear. Well, last week you were keeping everything behind closed doors. So if there's no truth to any of this, you're not part of the root of any of this, and you just want the conversation to stop, you just sit there and say, I'm just here so I don't get fined, I'm not going anywhere, and I'm going to play for Portland.
That's the way to do it. In the NFL, that works. Like, in the NFL, you hear Russell Wilson wants out, and then nothing happens because it's not real. Maybe there was a disagreement, but he was never going to get traded. In the NBA, when you hear a trade rumor, you better believe that that individual is going to get traded, especially when guys come out and say, I'm not leaving, or the franchise says, we're never going to trade James Harden. Anthony Davis, we have no intentions of ever moving him. Like, when teams and players start talking like this, expect a move. In the NBA, rumors are always real. A move is coming.
You know, you mentioned earlier your disappointment or wanting to get in shape by Labor Day was your
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
I started The Work, which is one of these Team Beachbody sort of things. I loved, like, Insanity and P90, so
it's
I was
intense,
like, you know, I'm
going
to get myself back in shape, so I'm going to do The Work, right? So I'm 2 weeks into The Work, and I'm telling you, it's the hardest workouts I've ever done in my life, Myron. Like, I actually had to text Mike last week and say, hey, I think I may have seriously injured my butt cheeks, and I'm not sure what to do about it. Like, he had to give me icing tips on my glutes. Like, I went through all of this. So today, like, I'm 2 weeks in today. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get the tape measure. I'm not stepping on a scale. I'm just going to measure to see how all the results are going. Nothing's changed. 2 weeks in, everything hurts. Nothing's changed. I need somebody to help me on and off the toilet. Nothing's changed, Myron. I don't know how to process any of this.
And no paycheck for it either, right? We're not getting paid to get in shape. I mean, that's the thing. It'd be more motivating if that were the case, you know?
No, now that is 1,000. But now, if I was getting paid for, like, hell, if even The Work was giving it to me for free, I'd be happier. But no. I paid for it, get my butt kicked, and no results. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, where there's always results. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. We'll keep you updated on all of the latest as it comes down from Dame and, of course, on my workout routines. But coming up, Big 12 football teams with COVID problems may have to forfeit games this season. Why that could actually impact the national championship. We'll tell you about it next. Chiné Angolik Jr., Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz filling in.
Chiné Angolik Jr., the podcast.
Chiné Angolik Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. ESPN Plus, Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz sitting in for Chiné and Mike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. all of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Myron, the big news yesterday, obviously, around Major League Baseball came down in the form of COVID-19. We've almost gotten so far away from this, we don't think about it the same way. But realistically, Aaron Judge, one of six Yankees players that tested positive for COVID-19. Remember, Aaron was part of the All-Star Game festivities as well, so that raises some concerns. And realistically, it caused last night's game to be postponed. You can tune in to an AL East rivalry tomorrow night. Yankees host the Red Sox. They are back to playing. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN. This Major League Baseball weekend preview brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here. So, Myron, when that happened yesterday and we saw a game get canceled, I couldn't help but think of the reports that we were seeing over the last couple of days about the Big 12 and their concept that, frankly, COVID-19 is not going to allow for any postponements of games, simply forfeitures, which is a policy that it is presumed many conferences will take, which then immediately has me thinking, what the hell is going to happen if there's an outbreak on a campus?
I think that's what, you know, we're going to face. It makes sense for the Big 12 and other leagues to say, hey, listen, you know, we're not going to reschedule the way we did last year. We're going to forfeit these games because it's going to encourage people to get vaccinated, which is not a political thing. It's a business decision when you're talking about sports. But I also think we're going to run into situations like this one, whether it's vaccinated, unvaccinated people, where there is a positive test and we have to have some of the same conversations that we had a year ago. I think a lot of people feel like the pandemic is over. And I think in sports, I think you're going to have a lot of surprise when college teams especially end up in situations where games are postponed, forfeited. This thing isn't over, and I think we're going to see that here in the coming months.
Well, what did we see last season? I mean, there were multiple times that we saw, hey, the entire offensive line was out this week, and as a result, we have to postpone this game. It really hit in Ohio State a few times last year, and I only use that as an example because Ohio State is constantly in the conversation as a national championship contending team. God forbid, but what happens realistically if they take a hard line in the sand to no postponements, and all of a sudden that means that Ohio State takes a loss or two losses as a result of forfeiture, and now the playoff committee has to figure out how to balance a team that's played less games and has losses on their resume that may or may not have actually been earned on the field. Like, that's a disastrous scenario.
Well, and I think it's one that could unfold, you know, despite the vaccination rates and all these things. Here's what I don't yet understand is, are the protocols going to be the same as they were when it comes to a positive test? Does it matter how many people are vaccinated versus how many are unvaccinated? There are so many different rules and regulations and protocols, and I don't know what that's going to look like once the season begins. But I certainly think on a college campus, Fitz, that's where you're most vulnerable, because a lot of these kids, they don't think anything of it. They didn't think anything of it a year ago, and they're going to kind of get back to normal, and I think you'll have these scenarios where games are jeopardized as a result. I think people will be surprised by that. Like, how is this still happening?
Yeah, that's a great point, Myron. Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz, in for Mike and Chiney. You know, when I start thinking about that element of it and where we are, remembering that a year ago right now there was curiosity on whether or not any games would be played, and then we watched the Power Five conferences instead of coming together like a bunch of adults and figuring out a way that they could work together as one unit. We watched a bunch of petulant children make that decision in stages, and all of a sudden it became this battleground for popularity and concepts of what to do. Now we're sitting here a year later, and I'm not sure the people in charge have learned anything from the lessons that they could have learned over the course of the last year. So now, if everybody chooses to run it differently, if state schools in particular states have one set of rules, but private schools in other states have different sets of rules, how will all of that be factored in? And now all of a sudden, instead of just trying to figure out how good Alabama is, you're trying to figure out how good they were, what their COVID implications were, what the COVID implications were for the rest of the SEC. Like, it adds so many variables. And to your point, we also don't know. Like, the NFL has made it very clear. Here's what happens if over a certain percentage of your team is vaccinated. Here's happens if not. They haven't made it clear in the college landscape yet what that looks like school by school, conference by conference. And they're also not a bunch of professionals. So now you got a bunch of college kids that are having to make these decisions where it impacts everything about the future of the school, no matter what they want to do.
Well, I think you hit a great point. They went through all this last year where everybody wasn't on the same page, and the entire sport paid for that. Like, no one came out of college football looking good. after all of the chaos. And you would think this would be a moment for everybody to say, hey, we're all going to walk through these same rules. We're all going to abide by the same rules because we want to make sure that this season proceeds. Now, obviously, with the vaccine, that is going to, I think, change a number of standards. You hope it helps teams avoid some of these situations, but it's not going to be everybody. And I think teams can still lose games. But to forfeit a game is a whole different scenario because at least you knew you could reschedule a game or maybe the committee would look at things differently. They're saying you are going to give up that game. And if that happens, man, there are going to be a lot of disappointed fan bases.
Well, and as we've seen on Twitter today from one of our colleagues and a close friend of mine, Jay Will, came out and tweeted, hey, he tested positive for COVID. He's fine. He's feeling good. Our thoughts and prayers are with Jay Will for health. He's vaccinated, right? So yeah. This still happens. And, you know, we see this happening. And so suddenly you look at it and say, hey, that's a reminder that this could happen to anybody. And how is, whether it's just from forfeitures or if it's from the concept that your starting quarterback the day before the conference championship game is going to be forced to sit out, like these are still real things that will impact everything about college football this fall. And I think everybody's looked at it and said, hey, fans are going to be back in the stands. Game day is going to be traveling. Like everything's going to be back to normal. And I'm looking at it thinking, yes and no. And the no is going to be outrageous because God knows, like college football fans aren't sitting back saying, yeah, that's cool. It's going to be, oh, is everybody held to the same standard? And yeah. It might not be that this fall. Like that's a disaster.
And especially if a high profile program gets caught up in that. Oklahoma or Alabama or Clemson are forfeiting games. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, well, we'll keep you updated on it, obviously, as we get more info. But it'll be interesting to see if they can finally kumbaya and work together. I'm betting no. Coming up next, prosecutors have handed down 5 charges against Richard Sherman. We'll get you updated on the latest from his incident, and we'll make sure that you know that news. But first, the reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. I'm a math guy. Look at the numbers. No, I'm actually really terrible at math. Instant math match searches. I'm going to try all that again. Instant Match searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description. They have 135 skills tests that go beyond the resume to help you find the right candidates faster. And according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So if you want to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit. All right, what's the latest with Richard Sherman? We'll get you all the news you need to know. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz, filling in.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. I'm Jason Fitz, hanging out with Myron Metcalf. We're in for Chinay and Mike on this Friday edition of the show. We want to get everybody updated on a very serious story involving Richard Sherman. Obviously, Richard Sherman, currently a free agent, not with the team. Everybody's aware, I think, at this point of his arrest. He's now facing 5 misdemeanor charges stemming from his arrest at his in-law's home northeast of Seattle earlier in the week. Now, that's according to documents filed by the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office on Friday. The charges include 2 domestic violence counts, criminal trespass in the 2nd degree, and malicious mischief in the 3rd degree, along with resisting arrest, driving while under the influence, and reckless endangerment of roadway workers. The charges, all misdemeanors, punishable by up to 90 days in jail, or gross misdemeanors, punishable by up to 1 year. So at this point, we've gotten a statement, Myron, from Richard saying, quote, I am deeply remorseful for my actions on Tuesday night. I behaved in a manner I'm not proud of. I've been dealing with some personal challenges over the last several months, but that is not an excuse for how I acted. The importance of mental and emotional health is extremely real, and I vow to get the help I need. I appreciate all of the people who have reached out in support of me and my family, including our community here in Seattle. I'm grateful to have such an amazing wife, family, and support system to lean on during this time. That's the latest update we have on what is troubling news for Richard.
It's just sad, you know, and you know, to hear that statement and you know, his wife's statement as well. You hope Richard gets the help that he needs. There's a video out there, he looked like someone who, you know, was not what we're accustomed to seeing from a Richard Sherman. And you hope he has the support and the resources that he needs. A lot of people are playing the role fits of counselor and mental health advocate and doctor and trying to diagnose him and all these things. That's really not our lane But I would say in general, I hope he gets whatever he needs. Who cares about football right now? But Richard Sherman, the human being, is the focus and should be.
Yeah, and really well said by you. Also, it should be noted that we hear anything involving domestic violence, we immediately think it's a man against his wife. It appears from the information that is out there so far on this, this is actually something, these charges stem from the incident that happened between he and his father-in-law. So obviously that's a complication, but I want to make sure that everybody's aware of this. And the police were very thorough in the process of making sure that they got as much information out to everybody as possible. In February, King County prosecutors and the sheriff obtained an extreme risk protection order for Sherman, which barred him from having guns after a judge determined he posed a danger to himself or others. So what we have, without any sort of knowledge of how we got here or what's going on, what we have is a serious situation involving somebody that's obviously not doing well. And so whatever he needs help-wise to get him doing well is going to be the first priority throughout this process.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, how we should approach these situations. We like to make big conclusions. We like to say, well, hey, what's going on with him? Did something happen in football? What's going on in his life? But for someone to come out after a situation like this and say, hey, listen, I need help, you hope he gets it. And the NFL, more than anything, you hope can offer some of those resources if, in fact, that's what he needs going forward.
Yeah, an important note there that the NFL absolutely at this point, the more they can help their current former players, the free agents, the more they can be involved in helping in the process, the better. At the very least, he's openly acknowledging the need for help. So now let's hope that he gets that and takes it. That's the other part of it, is that not only that it's provided, but that he takes it. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz, Myron Metcalf. That's not the only piece of NFL news. This got me fired up, Myron, and it involves Tom Brady. And for once, I will admit, you know, maybe I get a little fired up about Tom Brady sometimes because there's no such thing as a tuck and it was a fumble. So I'm willing to admit my bias going into virtually any conversation that involves the Patriots or Tom Brady, which I sort of blame the NFL for, because every time it's like greatest snow games, greatest playoff endings, greatest moments, every one of those specials they show in the middle of July, I get to relive the fact that, you know, it was called a tuck. It's fine. It's fine. I'm doing okay. But we got the news that Tom Brady played his 2020 season with a torn MCL. And what really ticked me off about this was his quarterback coach acknowledging in an interview, well, we knew that it was bothering him all year. My problem is Tom Brady never appeared on a single injury list for the Buccaneers. None. So in a world where there's gambling done on games, in a world where fantasy football lineups are changed, in a world where the league has figured out how to monetize all of this stuff that we're doing on the side involving football, that's why injury reports exist, not just for fans, but they exist partially because the money that's on the line every single Sunday. For the Bucs to have never put Tom Brady on that list, oh man, like at this point, there should be an absolutely like a hailstorm of activity towards Tampa Bay for what they've done here.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of the injury list if he's not on it with a torn MCL? You know, what's its use? You hate to see that, and it is unfair, like you said, to the gambling world. It also comes out at a time where it just kind of makes the Super Bowl run more legendary as well. So if you're a Tom Brady hater, to hear this news after the fact, after he won the Super Bowl, probably makes it feel sort of like, okay, here we go again. Was it necessary to unveil that? But I'm sure Tom Brady haters just hate all of this for some of the reasons you mentioned, but also because it makes that run even more legendary.
And you're right. Like, the legend of Tom Brady only grows knowing that he did what he did last year with a torn MCL. But I will remind everybody, back in 2009, fines were assessed to the New York Jets and former coach Eric Mangini and former GM at the time, Mike Tannenbaum. So the league fined the Jets $75,000, Mangini and Tannenbaum $25,000 apiece. They were fined for not putting Favre on their injury list for the last month of the season at the time. So that's a month of the season, and that's 12, 13 years ago. With inflation, I think, you know, just take all of their draft picks and $17 million. It seems like a fair penalty here, Myron. I'm just like, send a message, NFL, that you won't let Tom get away with anything.
Just admit, you want them to take the Super Bowl trophy, right? You want them to reverse, take the trophy from them. That should be the right penalty, right?
Myron, if they took the Super Bowl trophy and they were like, you know what, we're going to hold a lottery. We're just going to hold a lottery. We're going to put a bunch of balls in. Lottery came up, Raiders. Raiders are getting that Super Bowl trophy. I'd still buy swag. I would buy the shirts that say Super Bowl champion, knowing that we didn't earn it. I'd buy the hats. I'd get the cover of Sports Illustrated framed. I'd do all of that, knowing that we didn't have any excuse to have it. I would still take it. Yes.
Does it make you like him less? I mean, I know the injury report is one thing, but knowing that not only is he like the oldest quarterback to ever do this, but to do it with a torn MCL, I mean, how does it make you feel about him knowing that information?
The legend grows, and I think what we do have to accept in all seriousness is that if he comes into this season healthy, I mean, if that was unhealthy, Tom, with Bruce Arians in that offense, like, if he comes in this season and suddenly he's healthy, like, for anybody that thinks age is going to cause him to take a step back, well, being healthy is going to cause him to take a step forward. So I feel like, at this point, I'm angry. I'm angry, Myron.
It'll be scary. If healthy Tom Brady, if that was unhealthy Tom Brady, this could be even scary. He can play, like, 50 doesn't seem crazy to me. Him out there at 50 does not seem crazy to me.
And now we know why I drink. All right, coming up, has Chris Middleton become the Bucks' most important player? Yeah, we'll tell you the truth you need to hear on that next. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz filling in.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Batman, who's Robin, who's Iron Man? And I'm still really stuck on this one. Like, as a kid that grew up with a really dorky version of Aquaman, if there's a player in the NBA Finals, it's Aquaman. Are they the dorky one that, like, nobody really liked except for the dorks? Or is it like the, you know, like big jacked version of Aquaman we've had? These are the sort of things that come up when you start breaking down the NBA Finals on Chiney and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio. Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz filling in for Mike and Chiney. I'm sure they would approve of our superheroes, although it would frustrate Mike that I still haven't seen enough of the Marvel movies to be great with it. We've asked you guys for this week's Chiney and Golic Jr. weekend preview poll. That's out on Twitter at ESPN Radio, at Jason Fitz, at Metcalf by ESPN. We're looking ahead to Saturday night's game. So which non-star will have the biggest impact on Game 5? We're talking non-star. So get all the normal names out of your head. So we've given you the option of Bobby Portis, Mikal Bridges, Pat Connaughton, or Cameron Payne. Those are some of the options out there. If you don't like any of those, you can write in one. In the meantime, we're going to head over to the Goodyear Hotline and talk to ESPN NBA writer Tim Bontemps. Tim, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it. When you look at the Bucks and the difference from games 3 and 4 versus games 1 and 2, it's easy to say, well, they went home. Is there something other than just playing at home that changed drastically to make them so much better?
I mean, look, the story of this series from the beginning has been pretty simple. If Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday can play even up or better with Chris Paul and Devin Booker, the Bucks are going to win the game. And if they can't, then it's a much more difficult challenge. And games 1 and 2, Chris and Devin were the better players, and therefore the Suns won. In games 3 and 4, the Bucks, Chris and Jrue were either even up or better than them. And if that's the case, with Giannis having the ability to dominate the way he does, I think that's really the simple way to break down how the rest of the series is going to go. If you tell me whether that guard matchup is in the Suns' favor or even or in the Bucks' favor, I feel pretty confident about how the final result of the game is going to play out.
What do you think they did in game 4, and what can they do going forward to slow down Chris Paul?
I mean, look, Jrue Holiday is the best man-to-man guard defender in the league. And after game 1, when he, for some reason, was not put on Chris Paul, they have put him on him since then, and he's done a really good job. And while Drew's offense can sometimes come and go, and he certainly didn't have a lot of it going for him in game 4 when he went 4 for 20 from the field, he has really worn down Chris throughout this series by being physical and picking him up full court. And I think the Bucks have done a really nice job of trying to make every second Chris Paul's on the court as difficult as possible. And I think you saw that begin to wear on him a bit in game 4, and I would not be surprised if there's a cumulative effect of that going forward, even with the couple days off between games 5 and 6. Because it is just really tough going up against as big and physical and talented of a defender as Jrue Holiday is on a nightly basis over the course of a couple weeks.
We're talking to ESPN NBA writer Tim Bontemps on Chiney and Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, Myron Metcalf filling in. And Tim, if you could see me, see my feet, I was just doing a little tap dance of joy because you were talking about an adjustment. And it feels like we've created this narrative that Mike Budenholzer is absolutely incapable of making adjustments. Have you seen enough in the finals to maybe quell some of that argument in your mind?
No, not really. I mean, I think all the criticisms of him have been justified over the years, frankly, and I've been one of the people that has made them. I think his teams have not always taken advantage of their talent, and I think they have at times been slow to adjust. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, the Bucks have the best player in this series by a pretty significant margin. And, you know, generally, when you go into a playoff series, if you pick the team that has the best player, you're going to be right a lot of the time. And Giannis Antetokounmpo has been the best player in this series by a significant margin. And so that's why I say before, to me, for the Suns to win, like go back to game two. How did the Suns win game two here in Phoenix? Well, Chris Paul, Devin Booker hit a ton of shots at 35 points. Chris Paul played really well. And the Suns went 20 for 40 from three, right? And they won a game by six or eight in a game when Drew Holiday couldn't hit a shot and Chris Middleton couldn't hit a shot. They combined to have the worst shooting percentage of a starting backcourt since Kobe Bryant and Ron Harper 20 years ago. So it took all of that for the Suns to win a home game. So, you know, if you look at how this series has played out over the last couple of games, I think really since game one when Giannis got himself back in the series, the Bucks just have more talent. And set aside any coaching adjustments that Mike Budenholzer can make, the Suns are the Bucks should be favored to win two of these final three games. And, you know, if the trends carry over from the last couple of games, I expect them to win this game tomorrow night as well.
We've heard so much about what a championship would mean for Chris Paul and his legacy. What would a title mean for Giannis?
I think it would mean a lot, Myron. I mean, if you look at all the criticism this guy has taken over the past couple of years, despite the fact that he's won a couple MVPs and he won Defensive Player of the Year last year, I mean, he's not seen in the same light as guys who have done that in the past, right? And I think if the Bucks are able to win this championship, Giannis is able to come back from that crazy-looking hyperextension of his left knee, which, frankly, when I saw him go down when I was at that Game 4 against the Hawks in Atlanta, I thought he'd be out for a calendar year. I did not think he'd be out for a week. So for him to come back from that, to play the way he has in these finals, if he's able to lift this Bucks team to a title and bring a championship to Milwaukee for the first time in a half century, I think it's a huge thing for him. I think it's a huge moment. And, you know, look, like you said, with Chris Paul on one side and Giannis on the other, this is a legacy-changing championship. Whichever way it goes, it's just a matter of, you know, who's able to pull out two of these final three games.
Real quick before we let you go, Tim, the home team has come out with a lot more fire so far. What can Milwaukee do to combat that early in the next game?
I think they need their guards to make shots. You know, I don't mean to keep repeating the same thing, but this whole series comes down to maybe how did Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton play in game five? You know, Chris Middleton has some of the craziest home road splits in the entire league since they moved into the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee a couple years ago. But if he has a big game five and is able to hit some shots, that might be the only thing that separates Milwaukee from winning a championship. So I really think those, if fans want to focus on anything in game five, I want to see how Chris and Drew look in that first quarter. If they come out and make some shots early and get into rhythm, I think that's a really great sign for the Bucks, and I think it's big problems for the Suns.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Tim Bontemps. Hey, Tim, as a frequent user of the word tinkle, are you good with Giannis going with the tinkle word? Like, is that in Bontemps' world? You like that?
I mean, I can't say I've used it recently, but Giannis has been a hit in these press conferences. He's been very entertaining, and that moment was certainly one of them. So we'll see what he comes up with tomorrow.
Well, you know, I'm Team Tinkle over here all the time, every day. Tim, appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks so much for the insight. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
The NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night for Game 5 as Cameron Johnson and the Suns host Brooke Lopez and the Bucks. See what we're doing here? We're giving you all the other guys. It's like the comedy. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. And Myron, I know it could seem like oversimplification, but Tim's right. Like, this comes down to how a couple of guys play will impact who wins the championship. And it's crazy to just let it be that simple, but I feel like it is.
It is that simple, and it does feel like the Bucks have the momentum.
Yeah, well, let's see how they're able to keep that momentum. The one thing I know is after two games, we were convinced the Suns were going to win it all. Now everybody seems convinced the Bucks are going to win in six. So I'm sure, if anything, I know, no matter who wins the next game, we'll all overreact to it, because that's part of our charm, and that's part of what we do. Speaking of overreactions, it's easy to overreact to the situation between Dame and Portland. The question is, who's to blame for where we are? We'll answer it next. Chenay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chenay and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.